Welcome to No Longer Conformed. I'm Eric Garthy, and we are studying Lifestyle of Spiritual Excellence, Bible Bits from Daniel. In this session, we'll be looking at Daniel chapter 10, verses 1 to 21, the principle of repentance. Repentance. What are its requirements? What are its rewards? Not just for unbelievers, not just a one-time act. A repentant heart before the Lord will be showered with blessings. What is it like? Well, a repentant heart is soft and pliable. A repentant heart responds to godly reproof. A repentant heart is moldable by the Holy Spirit. But the main characteristic of a repentant heart is its willingness to acknowledge guilt and accept blame. I am the one, Lord. I have sinned. If there is no admitting of sin, there can be no repentance. If you're not willing to acknowledge your wrong, you're saying you have no need to repent at all. That you've done no wrong in the sight of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 10 says that godly sorrow produces repentance, leading to salvation, not to be regretted. But the sorrow of the world produces death. Pilate declared himself innocent. Matthew 27 verse 24. When Pilate saw that he could not prevail at all, but rather that a tumult was rising, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. You see to it. Was he innocent? Of course not. 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 through 10. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we've not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Church splits are a great illustration of blindness to sin. Both sides make an enemy of the other. Both sides curse the other with gossip, ridicule, and rumors. Both sides believe that they're not to blame. Both sides refuse to admit to any wrongdoing. Both sides claim God is with their group. Both sides wait for the other to be judged. And both sides wash their hands saying, I have done no wrong in this. The truth is that both sides anger the Lord. Neither repent, so both sides are judged. A congregation of the dead. A spiritual wilderness. Families are troubled. Members at odds with each other. And it's all because nobody will accept any of the blame. The prophet Malachi was shocked by the spiritual blindness of his day. The pattern was a strong message from God, a reaction of mocked innocence. First, they gave their junk. Malachi chapter 1, verses 7 and 8. You offered defiled food on my altar, but say, in what way have you defiled you? By saying the table of the Lord is contemptible. And when you offer the blind as a sacrifice, is it not evil? And when you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it then to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you favorably? Says the Lord of hosts. Second, they made divorce no big deal. Chapter 2, verses 13 and 14 of Malachi. And this is the second thing you do. You cover the altar of the Lord with tears, with weeping and crying, so he does not regard the offerings anymore, nor receive it with goodwill from your hands. And yet you say, for what reason? Because the Lord has been witness between you and the wife of your youth, with whom you have dealt treacherously. Yet she is your companion and your wife by covenant. And then third, they just excuse sin. Chapter 2, verse 17. You have wearied the Lord with your words, yet you say, in what way have we wearied him? In that you say, everyone who does evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delights in them. Or, where is the God of justice? Fourth, they refuse to tithe. Chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. Will a man rob God? Yet you've robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. There's more. I recommend you study the book of Malachi. The repeated pattern was they rebelled against or ignored God's word, then declared themselves innocent when confronted. Now compare that to the heart of King David. He continually searched his heart before God. Psalm 32, verse 5. He viewed all his sin as ultimately against God. Psalm 51, verses 3 through 5. And he disciplined himself to fully dig the sin out. In Psalm 139, verses 23-24. David wanted God's searchlight to examine every corner. Christians today often claim to search their heart for sin and come away saying, thank goodness, found no sin. Be careful. Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 9 and 10 warn us that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. Isaiah 59 and verse 12. For our transgressions are multiplied before you, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and as for our iniquities, we know them. As for our iniquities, we know them. Stated in verse 13. In transgressing and lying against the Lord and departing from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood. Notice one of the sins mentioned, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood. Some Christians think that they can say anything about anyone if they're sincere about it, no matter how damaging. 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 3. Talk no more so very proudly. Let no arrogance come from your mouth. For the Lord is the God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. Those whom God uses are very sensitive to their own sins. And they also grieve over the sins of the body of Christ. Ezra loved the Lord and his word. He was a prayer warrior and a faithful preacher. Ezra repented. For what reason? Concern for his own sin and all the sin of God's people. Look at Ezra chapter 10, verse 1. Now while Ezra was praying and while he was confessing, weeping and bowing down before the house of God, a very large assembly of men, women, and children gathered to him from Israel, for the people wept bitterly. And then if you drop down to verse 6, then Ezra rose up from before the house of God and went into the chamber of Jehohanan, the son of Eliashib. And when he came there, he ate no bread and drank no water, for he mourned because of the guilt of those from the captivity. And then if you go to chapter 9, verses 5 and 6, at the evening sacrifice, Ezra says, I arose from my fasting, and having torn my garment and my robe, I fell on my knees and spread out my hands to the Lord my God. And I said, oh my God, I am too ashamed and humiliated to lift up my face to you, my God. For our iniquities have risen higher than our heads, and our guilt has grown up to the heavens. Daniel had the same kind of repentant heart, sensitive to the sins of himself and of God's people. Look at Daniel chapter 9, verses 5 through 9. We have sinned and committed iniquity. We have done wickedly and rebelled, even by departing from your precepts and your judgments. Neither have we heeded your servants and prophets who spoke in your name to our kings and our princes, to our fathers, and to all the people of the land. Oh, Lord, righteousness belongs to you, but to us, shame of face, as it is this day to the men of Judah, to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and to all Israel, those near and those far off, in all the countries to which you have driven them, because of the unfaithfulness with which they have committed against you. Oh, Lord, to us belongs shame of face, to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, because we have sinned against you. To the Lord our God belong mercy and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against him. And then the key verse is verse 20 of chapter 9 of Daniel. Now while I was speaking, praying, and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of God. Listen, there are benefits for those with a repentant heart, those who acknowledge their sin. Let me share with you from our passage in Daniel chapter 10, verses 1 to 21. Let me share with you four benefits of a repentant heart. First, repentance brings a clearer vision of Christ. Daniel chapter 10, verses 5 and 6. I lifted my eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose waist was girded with gold of Upaz. His body was like beryl, his face was like the appearance of lightning, his eyes like torches of fire, his arms and feet like burnished bronze in color, and the sound of his words were like a voice, like the voice of a multitude. Listen, this was after a time of repentance. Look at verses 2 and 3. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning three full weeks. I ate no pleasant food, no meat or wine came into my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all till three whole weeks were fulfilled. Who did Daniel see in the vision? Well, Jesus. Was he seeking a vision? No. The Holy Spirit blessed Daniel's confession of sin. Matthew chapter 5, verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Did others with Daniel see the vision of the Lord? Well, no. Look at verses 7 and 8. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men who were with me did not see the vision, but a great terror fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore, I was left alone when I saw this great vision, and no strength remained in me, for my vigor was turned to frailty in me, and I retained no strength. A truly repentant heart need not fear. There is no reason to hide. Judgment is not an issue of concern. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If you confess your sins, you can stand firm. Second, Repentance brings removal of all fear. Verses 10 through 14. Now I have come to make you understand what will happen to your people in the latter days. For the vision refers to many days yet to come. When he had spoken such words to me, I turned my face toward the ground and became speechless. And suddenly, one having the likeness of the sons of men touched my lips. And then I opened my mouth and spoke, saying to him who stood before me, My Lord, because of the vision, my sorrows have overwhelmed me, and I have retained no strength. For how can this servant of my Lord talk with you, my Lord? As for me, no strength remains in me now, nor is any breath left in me. A Christian who refuses to acknowledge his or her sin has a false piety. A facade of all is well. The Bible teaches that those who hide sin won't prosper. They don't know the filling of the Spirit of God. They are full of fear and anxiety instead. But a repentant Christian who is sensitive to sin, God pulls out of his heart all roots of fear. Is there anyone you have spoken evil of? Go to that person or phone him and acknowledge your sin and make restitution. Don't say, if I have wronged you in any way. You know what you said, and so do the people you said it to. Admit it. Make it right today. There will be a release in your heart never experienced. God will open your spiritual eyes and ears. And then third, repentance brings new lips. Verse 16, and suddenly, one having the likeness of the sons of men touched my lips. And then I opened my mouth and spoke, saying to him who stood before me, My Lord, because of the vision, my sorrows have overwhelmed me, and I have retained no strength. The purging hand of God touched even the lips, bringing a new cleansedness of tongue. Isaiah was prophesying in chapters 1 through 5. He was prophesying in chapters 1 through 5. But look what happened in chapter 6, in those first 8 verses of Isaiah chapter 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had 6 wings. With 2 he covered his face, with 2 he covered his feet, and with 2 he flew. And one cried to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, and the whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. So I said, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal which he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send and who will go for us? And then I said, Here am I. Send me. A believer who is repentant will honor Jesus Christ the Lord with lips speaking from a clean heart. And then fourth, repentance brings renewal of God's strength. Verse 19, and he said, O man, greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be with you. Peace be to you. Peace. Be strong. Yes, be strong. So when he spoke to me, I was strengthened and said, "Let my Lord speak, for you have strengthened me." Daniel was totally drained because of sin's effect. He had been mourning, fasting, and praying. And then the Lord came and touched him. He was immediately blessed with peace and renewed strength. A repentant Christian can be totally wiped out, but the Lord always comes to make him strong again. Do you have a repentant heart? Do you want one? Then fall on your knees and cry out in confession for yourself, for your family, for your loved ones, for your church. You will experience the loading on of God's benefits. Psalm 68 and verse 19. Blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits, the God of our salvation. Selah. You have a great day.